Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WAMRDB, Atlanta Mix Radio, the woman's station, the new look and feel of radio. We are now syndicated. You can find us on Blog Talk, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, the TuneIn app, YouTube, Spreaker, and Facebook Live. We'll be discussing a wide array of topics such as domestic violence, Me Too, sex trafficking, and health. Check us out on the World Wide Web at www.AtlantaMixRadio.com. Atlanta Mix Radio, the woman station, the new look and feel of radio. What's up, y'all? I'm The Next Level, inviting you to come chill with me at the Back to Intimacy pre-Valentine's Day event, featuring love, sensual poet extraordinaire, me, The Next Level, performing live at Club 6340, Riverdale GA's hotspot for the grown and sexy, February 11th, 2018. 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., located at 6340 Highway 85, Riverdale, GA 30274. Contact us at 404-392-4273. Dress to impress. Thank you.
good if I've got a heavy flow and a wide-set vagina.
Jokes about menstrual cycles aren't funny. Period.
The government provides homeless shelters with condoms, but not tampons.
Without proper feminine hygiene products, women are forced to use brown paper bags.
In 2016, over 200,000 women were homeless in the U.S.
It's bloody serious.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve. Now a good time?
No. Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single, full. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health.
Good evening. You are listening to WMRDV, our advocacy news show, our political news show about government shutdown and activism with Marlene Dow on WMRDV News. We also have joining with us Mr. Mario Coleman out of Nashville, Tennessee. We're talking about Marlene Dow, who is a lobbyist at the National Development Advisors Institute. Strategies and government experts. Some of the questions tonight is, who won the government shutdown? And can the grassroots activism that just took place here in January end the Republican control of Congress? Now, Congress deals to end government shutdown, added billions of tax cuts, right? That's another question. So step back and look at the broader context. Why was there an endgame in January 2018 that led with the brief shutdown? So that's another question. Is it true that the status of nearly 700,000 recipients of DECA or Deferred Action of Childhood Arrivals needed to be resolved ahead of deadline of March 5th? But the fundamental answer is that the Republicans in charge, which are now a part of all three governing entities, could not manage to enact into law a single one of the dozen spending bills that make up the discretionary part of the government for a fiscal year that began 3.5 months early in October. So, as we talk about this, Mario, what do you think about the first question? About who do you think won the government shutdown?
Well, I think the biggest problem is trying to, I don't really think it's about who won or who lost, because at the end of the day, I think it was something that really didn't have to be done. And for that time period, the ones who were losing were the government employees that weren't getting paid. You know what I'm saying? The soldiers that were out there actually in the field, any government worker that was not getting paid at that time, was the loser. I think part of what didn't get talked about was the CHIPS program. There was a child program that they did pass. It did go through Congress. And so I think it was a couple million of those that will be getting funded, like their health care and things like that. So that did get passed. As far as the DACA situation, it's hard to say. You know, a lot of people say, well, they should have held out. But see, those people are saying they should have held out. They weren't the ones sitting at home not knowing if they were going to get paid tomorrow, having to show up for work for free and not get paid. So I kind of understand where they were going. And the Speaker of the House said he would bring the bill on the floor. You know, so I think they said it's been years before they could even get a solid answer. So in this whole scenario, there should be a give and take. You know what I mean? So I think we just have to, they were just in a situation where, like you said, the House ran by the Republicans. So they had to yield, and hopefully they'll come through and do what they need to do.
You know, that's an interesting thing. The people that is talking did not or were not the ones that are going to work for free. So they expected people to go in and do these high-profile jobs that are stressful already and not be paid. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody, you're not going to go to your job and they tell you, oh, by the way, you're not going to get paid until the Congress decides. Now, that's what we're going to be waiting on Marlene to call in to talk about. But as she told me, was that there's discretionary budgets that's in place where they were going to get some money, but they weren't going to get their check. People got mortgages. It's the first of the month coming up. I bet you nobody that's the first thing. I really think that's a good point you made. And as far as the DECA, the recipients that they're talking about, they're talking about 700,000 recipients. That's really a lot of people. I mean, that's a lot of people, but that's what they held over the heads of the individuals that are in charge right now. And so, as far as the Democrats, what you're saying is there was no winners or losers in this, because it kind of shows where I feel like we're divided as a country, and when people go the extent that these people have done, to just pretty much just put people in a negative situation. I mean, it's got to be a stressful situation when you got families, bills, and everything, and you're living in the D.C. area and all over the country waiting on your check. And that's the next thing you know, they want to play games. And then they also also mentioned the last thing is that I was going to ask you about the grassroots activism. Now, you saw that march. We had a march here in Atlanta. I mean, women were everywhere.
All over the country.
That was last weekend. And then the march that they showed, that was a conversation a news clip that I saw that was not the news, was the government shutdown. Now, as a person that just knows, you know, you were on a domestic violence show on Monday, with all these women that are coming forth and marching and going against all the nasty things that's been happening, do you think that is probably going to overshadow the government shutdown on what took place in this first part of January?
Well, I think what's
that overshadows
is that. Oh, you're talking about the women marching?
Right. The activism.
Because in a way, I think what the most important thing is that millions, even though the situation with the shutdown was going on, millions upon millions of women and men were mobilizing to let the government know, hey, we're about to take this back. You know, they're showing them examples. You've shown us what you're about. We don't like it, but we understand what we have to do. We have to mobilize. We have to get together. We have to create this grassroots movement and go to these polls and vote you guys out, because you're not showing us the degree of leadership capabilities that we need in order to get this country on. Because the whole thing that I see that's hypocritical is America is a land of immigrants. The only immigrants, the only people that were here before anybody else were the Native Americans. You know, everybody else came here on a ship, or they were brought over here. We were brought over here as slaves. So for, you know, other individuals to say, well, you know, we're tired of these immigrants coming over here, they were once immigrants. You know, and then also they did a report. We were talking about Africa and Haiti. Half the individuals, a large percentage of the African refugees or immigrants that come over here with degrees. Now, they didn't mention that. A lot of them are doctors, lawyers, and teachers. So they come over here being able to contribute to society immediately. They're actually, as far as education goes, they're more educated than the Americans that are already here. So when they want to say, well, it's about economics, well, if I'm making $40,000 and then an immigrant comes over here who has the ability to make $100,000, then the economics should be leaning toward those individuals that can come and make an immediate contribution to society. If it's about economics.
They said it also states that most of the time when you're what you're saying is that this is why are people coming from China, India, the people that have the technology companies are accelerating faster than the people that are already living in America. Pretty
right.
Much,
entrepreneurs,
right?
Store owners. I mean, they could say, you know, how many stores just in the Atlanta area that you go to that are actually owned by Americans? There's usually an immigrant that's running the store. He might let some Americans work there, but 9 times out of 10, they are, you know what I mean, running, they own that business. You know, they're providing two services. One, they're providing the service of bringing goods into the neighborhood to sell, but also their taxes, everything, they're contributing to society twice by offering the neighborhood a service and by being business owners. You know what I mean? So what are they talking about? You know, they were talking about, well, you know, Haitians, but you said same thing with Haitians. I mean, what they're contributors, you look at people who drive these cabs and different things like that. I actually worked at an African church, and I'm going to tell you, all those kids were, I mean, there's an emphasis on excellence, education, and all that. They're not just coming around there doing whatever. You know what I mean? I work in a prison. I've gone all over. I haven't seen that many African inmates. You know what I'm saying? So I just say that to say that they have been contributors to society. All these different entities. You know, you talk about Hispanics, the same thing with them. They've been contributors to society. You know, you can go into Spanish neighborhoods. They open up stores. They work on construction jobs. They do lawn care. You know what I mean? They've contributed to society. And on top of that, they patronize their own businesses. You know what I mean? They recognize what they need to do as Americans to contribute to society. So, you know, it was just all rooted in hypocrisy. And it's really hard to say that it wasn't based, that his analogy wasn't race-based. When you look at the statistics, he's not talking about statistics. He's talking about what he thinks, or, you know what I mean? Just, it's not founded on statistical information, statistical facts.
You know, I think that with the 700,000 recipients of that they were talking about engaging, they know. So you're basically clearly stating that these people have contributed to America. And
every day,
you think that
every day.
And you
okay,
can
now I got to step in. Let me step in here. Everybody alive and well tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
I completely agree. They have contributed. There is no doubt about it. Now, with that said, It's kind of like when you're driving down the road. When you're driving down the road, you're just following the traffic, and somehow you get stuck with a ticket, breaking the law. You broke the law. Granted,
right.
You were just driving down the road, following the traffic, but you broke the law, and you got caught. And those people, the difference between, and you know when you're speeding and breaking the law. You know you are.
Right.
Now, these people knew when they came to the country, they were breaking the law because they didn't come the legal way. So they made the risk of breaking the law. I will say, believe it or not, I do like Tom Cotton's idea with President Trump about allowing these people a way to morph into legalized citizenship. I think most Americans would agree with me on that. I don't think, though, there should be just an open door, a policy of forgiveness. I do think students or kids who were brought here illegally should have a simpler way to be morphed in sooner, because they've literally been contributing their whole life. So that's a different story than their parents who brought them here illegally. And so I think I completely agree. They have been contributing. The difference is, and, you know, this is part of my argument with the Social Security thing. They're paying in Social Security taxes, and they're not going to get any of that money back through Social Security unless they become legalized citizens.
Right.
Now, that's sad.
And,
that's just really sad. But the system has no way to recognize them as legal when they're not legal.
And I agree with you too, Marlene. I think that if you come into this country illegally, that you have to do, you need to take the necessary steps to be a legal citizen, you know. And you need to do what you need to do in order to stay here and be a contributor, you know. I agree with that as well. But to just say that this particular group is no good and that particular group is no good, because when they profile a lot of these DACA, well, the kids more so, then their parents have came in, they've worked, and these kids have been, you know, they've been able to contribute to society in a certain way. But there needs to be checks and balances. Absolutely. There needs to be. You shouldn't be able to just come here against the law and then reap the benefits.
Well, in my opinion, to be honest with you, this system started out a mess a long time ago, because we went like the No Child Left Behind Act. It was put in place basically to protect these children who were brought here to the country without any approval, basically, to get to this country. And so now we have the responsibility legally, you know, to educate them. And now we've educated them, and now then they're contributing literally, and where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so my question
is,
the questions on the table. So on the table was, do you think it was morally and ethically right to shut the country down in order to have the DECA 700,000 DECA or deferred action of childhood arrivals to resolve this shutdown? Because was that not what was on the table?
The Democrats proposed, but it wound up blowing up in their face because of the fact that they were basically expensing the military for the illegal aliens.
Yeah.
You're never going to win that argument. I'm sorry. That's just not one to ever have. And then from there, you could argue, you know, look, there's, you know, I have to give it to the media and the Democrats. They put up three people who were specialist doctors. One was a brain surgeon. One was another one that specialized in genetic disease that had done some amazing, promising R&D work. And I'm trying to remember who the third one was, but they put up all these illegal alien students in colleges and universities right now that are high contributors to our society and through their knowledge, through their science, through their education.
Dreamers.
And so it changed the concept of the dreamers. It really did. And it was brilliant.
Right.
I got to give it to the
mm-hmm.
media. With that said, those people have means that the poorest people on our streets whose parents have lived here for six generations don't get. If you're an illegal alien in this country, you get $3,487 a month. Let me tell you what people who are homeless like Beth could get, if what they could do with that kind of money every month.
Well, they get $3,400 a month.
That's a lot of money.
Can you hear me?
For being illegal aliens.
Okay, so everybody, we're doing our show is Government Shutdown and Activism with Ms. Marlene Dow, who is a lobbyist at the National Development Advisors and Strategy and a government expert, and also have Mario Coleman, Vice President of WMRDB News and Advocacy, and myself, and we just got a caller in from 706 area code. Caller, state your name.
This is Timothy Patterson from Rome, Georgia.
Hi, Timothy.
Hey,
how are you tonight?
How you doing?
Hey. Y'all doing okay?
So
we're great.
We're doing okay.
Good to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
We're talking about, these are the questions. So I want to go back to the question. Who do you all feel won the government shutdown? That's the first question that was on the table. Can grassroots activism and like that was taking place in January in the Republican control of Congress? So those are the first two questions. So
and
who do you, Tim, who do you think won the government shutdown since you just came in?
I really didn't get to watch it because I was working, but
thank
I don't,
you, Tim.
I mean, I think. I think that the government, they need to just quit arguing and just get their stuff straight, because with the government funding, there's that's taking away spending from all kinds of places, and I just think they need to get their stuff together. So they're supposed to run the country, and they're not doing the best. So.
Well, okay. Tim, it's not that simple. It's
right.
just not that simple.
And
I can appreciate what you're saying, but that's just not realistic.
And for me, I just felt that there were no winners. You know what I mean? Because like you had said, Marlene, a lot of the government workers were not getting paid. You know, like especially combat soldiers, they're actually in the combat. They're out there fighting every day.
No, they got paid.
You know, risking their
lives.
They got paid.
Yes, they got paid. The only people that don't get paid during a shutdown is death benefits, military death benefits. So they got paid.
Why was Mike Pence in front of them saying? Oh, they were saying he was saying that they were that the Democrats were playing with their playing with
benefits
their pay or something
because
like that.
There's so many
benefits.
Like if your husband died, say six weeks ago on the field, and you needed your benefits, it had to be delayed because of just. You know, basically red tape. That's why he was saying that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so I was, as a veteran, I was like, wow. Okay.
So you're saying at no point in time this thing was critical to make a deal?
No, it was not. It was not.
Okay.
It was not. It was a media sideshow.
Wow. So there you go.
Okay.
To me, there were no winners. Yeah, I mean, it's because at the end of the day, they just were pretty much. Now, what about the CHIP program? Those kids, that particular initiative got funded, right?
Yes, everything got funded. I mean, it didn't even really shut down for 3 days because two of those days were the weekend. Nothing's going to happen on the weekend anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just Friday was one day. Again, the media is just putting their own spin on all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
and I
Congress
wish things were that.
To, okay, so but they added they okay, so Congress deal to end the government shutdown added $1 billion in tax cuts, correct?
No. Mm-mm. No. There was no tax cuts. because of the shutdown. There's no tax cuts. That's full of crap. I don't know who came up with that, but that's just crap.
Right.
Okay, so in what, in this is stuff that I pulled off the New York Times, and that was,
yeah, but
they
don't get their information right either. Just because
okay.
they're the New York Times doesn't make it right.
Right.
Well, no,
right.
I was just saying, it was that a deal? Was that a part of the deal? And then what was the whole shutdown about, Marlene? What was that all about then?
It was a political standoff. It'd be like the gunfighters at OK Corral. You know, it was just for show.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, the day those guys got killed at OK Corral, most people died that day. But you don't hear much about them in history. You don't hear about the shoot down at OK Corral.
So Marlene, so when they were saying that Chuck Schumer had sat down with President Trump, he had said that he wanted funding for the wall, he wanted more money spent on border security,
right.
And that was supposed to be tied into DACA. They said that there was a deal. Chuck Schumer left, went back to the Democrats and said that, okay, we got a deal. And then all of a sudden they said that President Trump's people came in and then they killed it. So they were saying there was a couple things that he agreed upon, but then went back on his word, and that was causing a bunch of confusion. Was that the truth, or is that something else?
No, that's not the truth. No. No.
Wow.
The House and the Senate have a bill they have to approve.
Right.
President Trump only signs what bill comes through. He doesn't
right.
get to leverage the bill. So, Trump, even asking Trump what he thinks is immaterial, because Trump's opinion doesn't matter. Trump only signs the bill. He doesn't get to
after
write the bill.
After it goes to the Congress.
The bill's
House.
Already written. Right.
Mm-hmm.
He just signs
right.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
right,
I remember seeing something,
up.
And
let's,
they did
let's,
mention
let's,
it.
Let me just ask a question. They said Trump is taking
right.
credit for employee bonuses, and executives are letting him. Should he be taking credit for that? What you just said.
Yes, he can take credit for that, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was no active bill in the Senate or in the House for a tax credit. Trump and his team literally this fought for a tax credit bill and got it through and passed. So he can't take
okay.
credit for that.
So this is my question, Marlene.
All right.
Because, you know, he's also taking credit for the economy. And I was under the impression that the the previous administration normally leaves behind the way the economy goes. Like, for instance, when Bush came in, Clinton had left $3 trillion
surplus.
Budget. What was it called?
Surplus.
Right.
Yeah.
And then by the time Obama came in, it was a $3 trillion deficit. So,
right.
And he had to work from there. So isn't this really
right.
kind of like what the Obama administration had built that President Trump is taking credit for? The economy?
No,
the
because
employment,
a president, who becomes president has everything to do with how much investment will be made, believe it or not. That's about all you can
mm-hmm.
really say a president's influence does. He has no direct decision opportunities until he's about 2 years in on that affects the economy, except and unless, like in this case, when President Trump got us out of the international UN deal, it saved us like, what was it, $3 billion a month? That was instant cost-saving measures that totally took us out of debt pretty quick. So stuff
mm-hmm.
like that makes a huge difference because you know, we were paying for the whole world to basically belong to the UN.
Right.
Okay, so Marlene, we're gonna do this thing. Now you know I try to follow you on Facebook. So let's do this. You said the Dems really realize they are barking up the wrong tree. Finally.
Your Facebook page
went off the change. You said, okay, they are kicking and screaming right now, but that is their only chance for a long term survivor. Now one of your persons, Sherry, stated, since the Republicans control Congress, you might want to reassess the blame game, especially Trump. Me, come let us reason together. Now, that was Sherry's response.
Yeah, she's a hard liberal. But she means me and her. Because we have private conversations all the time. And, you know, she and I can be on, we're best friends. We've been friends since we were kids. And we are totally, like Mario, you and I can be on the opposite side of the fence sometimes. And that's what she means about let us come together and reason. We've got to do what's in the best interest of the country. And you and I would be the first ones to step up and do that. Would you not agree, Mario? If it were in our direct control, you and I would fix things quick, right? And that's what she's talking about, she and I. She doesn't want to give Trump any credit for anything because she just doesn't like Trump.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he's not exactly on my Christmas card list either, but.
So John said, nope, he said the Dems own it. Not that I care that much. So what did he mean by that?
Well, that's my friend, John Meeson. He's a Democrat, not a Republican. And even he believed that the Dems screwed up by allowing this argument to be on behalf of the Dreamers at the expense of the military.
Right.
And he's right.
Okay.
He can't argue that.
Okay. So basically,
there were several Democrats who did not want the shutdown to happen. They voted against.
Exactly.
So everybody,
right?
Everybody was. All the Democrats weren't for the shutdown.
Right. And it cost them. They're not going to survive if they keep trying to polarize their own party, and that's exactly what they're doing.
Okay. Now we're going to take a break.
There's just as many Democrats that are going to support them. Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to say there's just as many Democrats going to support the military over illegals as there are Republicans. But you aren't going to find as many Republicans going to support Dreamers over the military. Just not going to happen.
Right.
And this is the kind of thing I'm talking about, them learning to get control of their own party. They've got to stop going for the polarized hard left if they plan to survive as a party.
There was another situationist that they were talking about there's several members of the Democratic Party that are looking to put their hat in the bid for the 2020 presidential race, and they were saying that could be a situation as well, because you know they kind of have their own agenda, and with that might be something that kind of. It might be a conflict a little bit down the road.
Oh, it's going to be a conflict because right now there's not even anybody on the map to be considered, really. Bernie.
Right.
I think Bernie sung a good song to, you know, the extreme leftist. Hey, I mean,
right.
I even said on this show, and I still mean it, I'm sorry, but there's Bernie and Donald Trump are not that far apart. And you can see that yourself. I don't need to tell you that. You know, you don't see them two going at it a whole lot. And my point is that there's not even a face to put in the Democratic Party. That's why they were grasping so hard at Oprah. You know, there's no face to put on the party. And they've got to have some kind of face that will bring them together as a party, and Oprah isn't it. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, not
if
only bring them together, but excite the base, you know?
It's got to be all of it. You know, it's got to be something. And I'm sorry. As a Democrat, I was praying Oprah didn't run because of the fact It's got to be another grassroots guy come or gal come up from nowhere that talks logical and reasonable to bring mm-hmm. to energize the life of the Democratic Party in the mainstream. Not the
right.
party, the mainstream. There's a big, big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democratic
right.
Party lost sight of the mainstream a long time ago, pursuing the hard polarized left side of the party.
Mm. And I don't normally agree with you, but you're absolutely right. I don't have a problem
yeah.
with
that.
Yes. It is a
wrong.
An absolute
yeah.
mess. Let me just share something with you guys. They're saying that the Dreamers are screaming about betrayal. They said that pundits like David Brooks declined their progressiveness against the Dreamers, screaming betrayal. These things, how can they say if they're Dreamers? Are they voting Dreamers? That's the question.
No, they're not. They're illegal, so they can't be. There is no betrayal because nobody promised them anything. You can't promise somebody illegal something more illegal. So that's why, the Dreamers have got to change their narrative. They've got to have somebody with some sense come up and do their arguing for them, and they don't have it. Nobody's going to give them any respect because they're illegal. Now, how do you get past that image to get your message heard? And I am for hire. You can reach me at 479-212-4053.
Oh, yeah.
Can you argue that?
Over there.
I am for hire, boys and girls, right now.
When we come back, everybody, we are talking with Ms. Marlene Dow, political analyst, lobbyist for hire, who is a lobbyist for the National Development Advisors and Strategies and a government expert. Our next part of our segment, we're going to dive into this. I think that it is quite clear that activism is going to change the face of all the parties. When we come back, Marlene, I want to get your thoughts about it. And we got Tim still holding on, and Mario
hey,
we still have on. So you guys.
Hey.
So we'll be right back, you guys.
You're listening to WAMRDB, Atlanta Mix Radio, the woman's station, the new look and feel of radio. We are now syndicated. You can find us on Blog Talk, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, the TuneIn app, YouTube, Spreaker, and Facebook Live. We'll be discussing a wide array of topics such as domestic violence, Me Too, sex trafficking, and health. Check us out on the World Wide Web at www.AtlantaMixRadio.com. Atlanta Mix Radio, the woman station, the new look and feel of radio.
Where's the tampons? Oh, here we are. Okay, now look at that. And that's just regular.
So that's $12. What would you spend that $12 on if you didn't have to spend it on this?
Something to eat. I think it's ridiculous, and I think it's too bloody expensive. There's people who can't afford it out there. I would use toilet paper wrapped up. At one time, I used to stick cotton balls on me, and I got an infection. And if I did get my hand on one tampon, I would keep it up there as long as I could. If I didn't have any of those, I'd take a lot of old socks and stuff them inside each other. And if worse came to worst, to get me to somewhere where I knew I could get a tampon, I would take a newspaper. And so I would, like, roll it up like this. But then you have to cup it so when you bleed, it doesn't roll off. And I used to get a lot of rashes because of, see, the corners of the paper. It would, like, dig into me. And then if I could get a hold of some toilet paper, I would wrap it around it, and then I take it and put it on the underwear and put it on. I really find it's way too expensive. Even now that I can afford it sometimes, it's still way too expensive.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve! It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Loving Care Family Chiropractic, a state-of-the-art chiropractic family facility for the entire family, owned and operated by Dr. Ebony Hornbuckle Preston. Allow her to love your spine so you can get back to enjoying your life. Through the touch of her hands, your pain will flee, giving you the freedom to enjoy your best life. Her concern is not just your spinal health, but your total health. She will show you natural and holistic remedies that can alleviate many injuries and various types of pain. Work with her and you'll feel stronger and healthier after every visit as you begin to enjoy the new you. Make your appointment today. They're located at 5336 East Mountain Street, Stone Mountain, Georgia, 30083, or call at 678-884-3778. We're also available on the web at www.lovingcarechiropractic.com. We are Loving Care Family Chiropractic. Let us love your spine.
Guys, we are back with WMRDB, our news segment, political segment. We're with Marlene Dow, who is a lobbyist at the National Development Advisor and Strategies and Government Expert. We're changing the subject today from shutdown from government, the government shutdown, to activism. As before we left, Marlene, we're talking about the movement. Okay, he says one of the things that you were talking about is this new transformation, this hub of action that is moving across the country. You had the Women's March in the short months between President Trump's inauguration. Organizers set up the Women's March, which then unfolded on January 22nd, and they had approximately 4 million Americans taken to the streets and cities across the country. So that will be proved one of the largest demonstrations in U.S. history. What are your thoughts about that?
First of all, that's not one of the largest demonstrations in history. I'm sorry. Out of a country with 70 million people in it, that's not even 0.1%. So, no, that's crap. The Civil Rights Marches had a lot more participants in the 60s especially on a per capita basis. I'm talking about the population was much shorter and smaller, so we had a much higher percentage of activism going on in the civil rights movement than we have right now. Second of all, that's part of what upsets me is we don't really have activism like I'd like to see us have. I talked about grassroots and somebody coming up through the ranks quick to be the face for the Democratic Party. And I think we've gone so far. I think this is part of the reason Bernie Sanders was kind of a welcome notion. We've gotten to this place where for some reason we think everything has to be represented by a minority. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be represented by minorities. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm saying we have to go back and realize that the minorities are not the largest piece of the component of the parties. It's good to have minority faces in there. Please understand what I'm saying. But I'm saying I don't know that they necessarily have to be the face of the party. Karima, can you turn that music off in the background? Because it's keeping me from being able to think. Can you hear it, Karima? Hello?
I'll text her. Hold on.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you. There it went. So I think here's the biggest reason we don't have more actual grassroots activism. If you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, in your county is an actual Democratic Party, local chapter. In your county is an actual Republican chapter. If you decide to run for office, even as a county councilman or a city councilman or as mayor or whatever, you have to pay a certain fee to run for office. And it's pretty stout. It's not a little fee. It's a pretty good amount of money. I know in Washington County, Arkansas, a guy advised last week who's running for county records clerk. He had to pay a $3,500 fee. He has to, at that point, decide if he's either Democrat or he's Republican, because that money that he pays goes to one of those parties. He chose to run as a Republican because he's more conservative than he is liberal, even though he's not conservative. He had to choose. And whoever has control, the president of that local chapter, is who has control of those monies. And you're talking about a pretty good little pot of money. You're talking about $50,000 to $100,000, probably annually. Then a good portion of that money goes to the state. And think about it: if you've got 85 counties in your state, that's pretty good size. And so, let's say 65% of that money of $100,000, which would be $65,000, goes to your state chapter. Times 85, that's how much money that state director has over that control of money. Now you're talking about several million dollars. Then you got the same thing going with 51 states going to the national chairman of the DNC or the RNC. So now you understand why you have to have money to be in politics. You just have to have initially a minimum of $3,500 on average. But if you run for like a big county position, let's say county manager, now you got to pay $12,000 to $15,000. So now you can understand why only the rich can really run for office, because the fees are so high to run that only the rich can afford to run. Now, here's the next thing. Let's say you've got a good message, and let's say you've got all these great ideas for health care. We'll just use health care as an argument. And let's say you go out to your local power company, your local water company, your local telephone company, or your fiber optic company, and your local gas company. That's where most of their money to run for office comes from. Do you know who owns those public utility companies? I'll give you a hint. It starts with the word public. You and I own those companies. Those guys running that do not own those companies, but they take our money and manage it like it's their own personal checkbook. So let's say you've got a good idea, and you go see one of these characters at one of these big utility companies, and you say, look, I've got some great ideas. I need your endorsement. I need you to help me put up part of the money to run for, you know, county office. He's going to look at you and say, well, let me tell you something, Jack. Get to the end of the line. I've already promised my old boy buddy over here he's going to get in. And you're going to look at him and say, well, why him? He don't have no ideas. And he's going to tell you, because he's going to do exactly what I tell him to do. You're not going to do that.
Right. Good old boy network.
You've lost any kind, exactly. Yep. You've lost any kind of effort for activism, any kind of altruistic ideas of authentic ways to fix problems and solve government. It's basically corporate minded before it ever gets to the party. It's squelched out. It's not set. The system is not set in place for somebody with some real ingenuity and ideas to get a chance to run on either party. Now, this is why we need a third independent party really bad. But it's got to come with some organization that strips the power from both parties and takes the power out of their hands. And at first, I thought, well, maybe.
Wait a second. Go ahead. Because, see, Mario, what you think about us having a third party?
Well, like she was saying, that's the rules of the game are already set. We can look it in the face and say, this is how the game is being played. Now, what's our move? Or we can act like that's not what's going on and continue to be where we are. So now
exactly
I get
what's
why
wrong.
They. Right, and now I get why they're talking about these fundraisers and different things like that,
yes,
because
exactly.
That's how the money is generated for us to be able to get a seat at the table. That's what the grassroots
mobilization is. Okay, so I just now added it up. I just now multiplied it. $65,000 times 85 counties. So the average state in this nation has somewhere between 87 school districts. So I'm using that as your base, really, for counties, more so than actual county counts. But 65,000 times 85 is $5.25 million. That's now multiply that times 51 states, and you get $281,775,000. That's a boatload of money. And you got one guy or one gal, as in last year's case, Donna Brazile. And I like Donna. I think she's a pretty bright gal. I don't know that I trust her with $282 million of my money. I like her, but I wouldn't trust her with $282 million of my money. And I sure as hell wouldn't trust the idiot that was running the Republican Party.
So basically, are you telling me that no matter how much these thousands of Americans turn out to protest the travel ban against people from Muslim-majority countries, no matter how much they turn out and oppose the administration that is going on, no matter all these things, the efforts to repeal Obama Affordable Care and turn it out for the protest of the Republican Party tax ban, or even a problem of the tax cuts to the corporations and the wealthiest slice going to them, all these initiatives that I'm looking at, you're saying that it doesn't make a difference. Y'all are both agreeing that no matter how much a person march, nothing's going to change. That's what you just said.
That's exactly what I'm telling you. That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Okay.
And my point is more like, you know, when you it's just like kind of like the military. You have the infantry, and then you have intelligence. You know, the infantry goes out and they're in front of the bullets. They're shooting at each other. They're making all this noise, but it's the counterintelligence and the intelligence, the things that happen behind the scenes, that actually win the war. You know, there's a whole lot of deals being made.
The difference is in the military. Yeah, but the difference is, at least in the military is run by a general, several generals.
Right.
Really. You can't say that about the parties. You can't
say
that about
government.
No, but
my point
government.
was that it looked like, you know, all these people out here protesting this, that, and the other, it all comes down to what Marlene was saying is being able to get the money, being able to raise funds so we can be able to sit at the table.
That's exactly
so people
right.
can go out there and protest all they want to, but if they don't have a full-blown plan, okay, we're say, for instance, all right, you got 50 million people protesting, and somebody said, well, look, if each one of you I'm running for office, each one of you donated $5 to me or whatever, that could get them a table, that could get them a seat, that could make them a bona fide player getting started. So we have to understand that.
Let me tell you what. No, I disagree, and let me tell you why. I mean, here, if you really want to break it down, Mario, this is where the rubber meets the road.
Okay.
Think of all of the paper that was spent by the Women's March. Did you see the streets and how nasty the streets were after last year's march and this march with just paper flyers that went into
right.
the street?
Right.
First of all, the Democratic Party, or the Liberals, let's just go there, look like a bunch of fools because here they are protesting, saying, we're cutting down trees, we're killing the environment, we're doing all this stuff. Then they have the nerve to say, we're protesting, protecting the environment, we want to empower the lesser of these, which would be women. I don't know what that noise is in the background, but it's very loud, like paper shuffling or something. And then from there, think if that money that was spent in paper and then staples to print and then people
mm-hmm.
pass them out, because nobody did any of that for free. Nobody. If they would have taken that money from those flyers, from that printing, from paying those people to pass that stuff out, and actually put it to a specific effort, say, help Haiti. Haiti is still struggling horribly bad. And
right,
just
I know.
Oh,
yeah, because they stole all the money.
Exactly.
The people at the top got all the money.
Exactly. So if that money had just gone to help Haiti, and they would have just quietly protested by taking the streets, how much bigger of an impact would that have left than the stupid baloney, I really had to clean that one up, Crema, that they put out there? What kind of an impact would that message give over what they did? And they've done the same stupid thing now three times in a row.
That's why I respect the Republican Party more, because the one thing I've known from you is that you always tell me the truth. One thing you've always said is, why would they listen to you? Either you bring the votes or you bring the money. If you can't do those two, they have nothing to do with the money.
They don't care. It's all about the money. No, wait, Mario. Wait, just a second. The Democrats say the money buys votes. We don't know how accurate that is. To this day, there's no way to determine that a political commercial generated an actual vote. There is not an algorithm on the face of the earth that can prove that an advertisement on television generated a vote. I'm sorry, it's just not possible. You're never going to pull that one off. You're never going to make a believer out of me on that one. So at least the Republicans are smart enough to try to buy influence. They buy the influence to buy the vote.
That's exactly what we do. That's exactly what we do. And the Democrats just
want to brainwash their agenda rather than convince and influence their agenda.
So wait a minute. Hold on for a second. Let me just do this. So do you agree, Mario, with what she's saying?
I got three letters for you, NRA.
What the hell does that mean? I mean, Lord,
with National Rifle Association, with all the violence that's going on, all the guns and murder and everything like that, they never say, okay, we're going to enact these laws to stop this particular weapon. This because the NRA has these people and they influence the money. The money influences all these people. It allows them to buy their way into people being inactive in you know, putting forth all these initiatives that would allow gun control to come into being. And that's basically what she's saying. They have the money to move people in different directions, because at the end of the day, people, you know what I'm saying? If somebody, for instance, if I have this initiative, I'm going to do this, and they say, you know what? We will give you $1 million instead of you voting this way to go that way. What are you going to do?
Take that $1 million.
People say, I got my character, but that $1 million is staring you in the face. Pardon me?
Yeah,
and this is what's going on. Am I wrong, Marlee? Yeah. That money is changing hands and moving people and making, that's how the needle gets moved.
You're 100% correct. He's telling you, Karima, I am exactly right. He's exactifying everything I'm saying, and he gave you an example of how that is of the most, probably one of the most powerful arguments there is on what I'm saying is the NRA. He's exactly right.
You forget my political beliefs.
I don't forget that at all.
I understand that completely.
Yeah.
You know, I would still be afloat, you know, if I believed in the other side of the wheel, grinding stone.
Why? Because you should have one. I don't believe you should not have one just because of your job. That's crap.
It's just best that I won't.
I know you're trying to be professional. Yeah. But let's hear from Tim. Tim, am I making any arguments? Is Tim still there?
Let me bring him back into the show. Tim, the background that you have, that scrubbing, we're recording the show live. So any of that background noise, that's why I've been muting your call. So, Tim, what do you think about what's happening in the conversation? Now, Tim is a millennial. Let me give you all some history about Tim. Tim Patterson met us 10 years ago. And he was a part of our NCWCC Build a Youth training program. And him and Mr. Coleman bonded over 10 years ago. And they've been in contact throughout these years. And he is a millennial. So what do you think about the whole conversation between what you're hearing? Because there's three generations on this call tonight. So what do you think?
Well, I agree what Mario was saying about the NRA and stuff. So... But I'm just sitting back and listening and learning. So.
Okay.
Are you really learning?
You got to get informed. Got to get informed.
So yeah, that's this is a different ballgame for me. But yes, I'll sit back and listen because I like to learn about stuff like this, and I think my generation needs to know more about this stuff. So. But
that's
I agree
why I
with.
To be on the call.
Mhm. Because the world's gonna be yours. Me and we're gonna be moving along here in a minute. So I think it's imperative for you guys to start. No, I'm serious. For you guys to start understanding how this situation works. Because you know, look, I've been young. I haven't cared. I just been out there. You know, when you're 20, and I can just tell you from my perspective, I was out there 20. When I was in my 20s, I figured, you know what, I got about 10 more years, and then I'll start getting serious about life as opposed to really trying to put things together. So I really didn't care. But then, you know, you're 20, and then 2 weeks later, you wake up and you're 50, and you're like, what the hell? You know what I'm saying?
What happened to me? What happened to the time?
Yeah, it's imperative to, you know, become informed, because when you're informed, it allows you to understand how to make decisions that are going to impact your future. I'm off my soapbox now, but I'm just saying.
Well, no, you think I got all of my knowledge in one day?
No.
Exactly. And
that's what I'm saying. I just try to sit back and learn from the people that have been around a little longer than me, and that's how you get wisdom and stuff. So.
Well, and then, but here's the thing.
So let me take a commercial break, and we'll be right back, okay, you guys? You're listening to WMRDB, Atlanta Mix Radio, Government Shutdown and Activism with Ms. Marlene Dow, Mario Coleman, Mr. Tim Patterson. We will be right back after this commercial.
Radio, the woman station, the new look and feel of radio. We are now syndicated. You can find us on Blog Talk, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, the TuneIn app, YouTube, Speaker, and Facebook Live. We'll be discussing a wide array of topics such as domestic violence, Me Too, sex trafficking, and health. Check us out on the World Wide Web at www.AtlantaMixRadio.com. Atlanta Mix Radio, the woman station, the new look and feel of radio.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve. It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org, a public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Jumbo tampons, but I can't help it if I've got a heavy flow and a wide-set vagina.
Jokes about menstrual cycles aren't funny. Period.
The government provides homeless shelters with condoms, but not tampons.
Without proper feminine hygiene products, women are forced to use brown paper bags.
In 2016, over 200,000 women were homeless in the U.S.
It's bloody serious.
Come chill with me at the Back to Intimacy pre-Valentine's Day event featuring love, sensual poet extraordinaire, me, The Next Level. Performing live at Club 6340, Riverdale GA's hotspot for the grown and sexy. February 11th, 2018, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., located at 6340 Highway 85, Riverdale, GA 30274. Contact us at 404-392-4273. Dress to impress.
Thank you guys. Welcome back to Atlanta. I'm sorry, WMRDB. Marlene Dow who is a lobbyist of national development advisors and strategies and a government expert. We also have Mr. Mario Coleman out of Nashville, Ms. Marlene Dowell out of Washington, D.C., and our other young millennium guest, Mr. Tim Patterson, out of Rome, Georgia. So we want to continue the rest of the show. We got about 15 minutes left. Now, it's been a heated conversation because basically you can depress the bank out of somebody, Marlene. You and Mario. Y'all depressed people make one go cut your wrist if you one of them activists and stuff out there marching. I said, I wish I would go out there and march with somebody. You better vote or you better get some money.
That's exactly
right.
That means so much more than marching. And I don't mean to take anything away. Listen, the right to protest in this country is a huge constitutional right that really matters. Primo, if you could turn that music off again. It's in my ear.
Yeah, I can't do my bed music when I play with you. Okay, my bad. Go ahead.
I believe in the right to protest, please. I would never, ever, 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 ever say not protest. But I would say the right to protest has to have meaning. And what good is a protest
Listen, them women went in that voting booth and they voted for President Trump. Their husbands never told them to make that vote. Now you mad because everybody done showed their true colors and calling. You should have did the research. Now, I got somebody that always talks about Bernie Sanders, Bernie Sanders, how dirty, Miss Clinton, did the party because if she hadn't ran, then Bernie would have had, Mr. Sanders would have had a better opportunity to win. And that she threw her hand in that just to split the party because nobody really was. I mean, this is what somebody is saying to me, just a private person, and he always says this all the time. And I don't, I say like
because
this.
Because Hillary had already micromanaged her way to the top long before Bernie stuck his name in there. So he's wrong.
So, but the thing about it is, you know, we're talking about activism. We're talking about the shutdown.
Right.
We're talking about, you know, it's two women on and two men on. You know, you're talking about activism. I just want to know your opinion about these things, you guys, as men, as you see these men and women, more women, take the streets to talk about Me Too, women being touched and assaulted, domestic violence. These issues, how do y'all feel about that? Because I know it's women in y'all lives. How do you feel about that, Mario? I guess it's there. No comment. Okay. All right. Okay, Mario's
not fair.
No longer with us. Well, okay. And Tim, how do you feel about the Me Too movement where there women are, and, you know, how you hear these men are making these women have sex with them and all of that, and now they're coming out, you know, 20 years from now. How do you feel about that? Any comments about that?
I feel like if this stuff really happens, they should go out and do it, like, tell the truth. If it happened, you know, that's good that y'all go out and y'all show that, and that shows the younger women to have courage to, you know, step forward to the plate if you face that stuff in your life.
Well, I love his generation of men who are actually, you know, I love it that finally we have a generation of men who will call down other men for that kind of behavior.
Okay, then. Well, we lost Mario. So let's wrap this up. So in your closing remarks about the activism and the shutdown, do you think those two had any relations at all together?
No.
Should they?
No.
They did. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you didn't
so,
lose me. I'm here.
It was kind of an accident, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And
now you want to
Gregorio?
About the Me Too movement, or are you talking about?
Right.
Yeah, about the women's march happening at the same time as the government shutdown. It was kind of an accident.
Yeah, I think so. But let me talk about the Me Too movement. I think, and I'll just be like brutally honest, because this has been like my observation and conversations that I've had with other men who've had influence. And like me personally, Karima can tell you, you know, I've worked in situations with several women, and I believe in seeing a person for their skill sets first and foremost. You know, I'm not into, oh, if you sleep with me, then I'll do this. And I think that is just unacceptable for a man to utilize his power over a woman for sex in order to help her. And not only that, but he's just not thinking of how he's making her feel and how frustrating that can be for a woman to have these skill sets, to be a professional, to have the education, and it all come down to whether she's gonna sleep with this guy or not. That's just, and the only thing I could think of would be, what if it was turned around? What if a man came into the situation and there was this woman in there, he was completely qualified, and she wasn't the best looking woman or whatever. She might have, you know, just not completely unattractive to him in every shape and form. And she told him, well, you know what, you're qualified, but you got to sleep with me to get the job. You know, how would he feel? You know, and I've sat and I've talked to women about, you know, about their degree of frustration. And that's something that, you know, I took on myself. I'd be like, look, if I meet a woman who has talent or whatever, and I have an opportunity to help her, I will help her. Because I can't even tell you how many women have helped me, and they may have liked me, and maybe sex might have happened, but that was not their initial thing. When I was in school, I had a group of ladies that I studied with. They were like mothers, this, that, and the other, and they just embraced me. Hey, young man, come in, study with us, this, that, and the other. So I just think that, I think this is why it's exploded in the forefront, and it's cost men who have done this, it's cost him tremendously because it's not right, and it just comes karma. It's time for them to get kicked in the ass behind this. It's just not the way to go. We wouldn't want to be treated like that. We can't be treating other people like that.
All right.
Hey, but listen.
Well,
Let me say this. One activism or one protest that worked, and the only way it worked, remember when this is back in the day, Marlene, when the blacks had to sit in the back of the bus and Martin Luther King had a protest and they stopped riding the bus. But the key is they stopped riding the bus. They stopped giving the bus company money.
Yeah.
So after that, they were like, okay, y'all can ride in the front of the bus, because they were going broke. So we got to understand, if we're going to mobilize, we got to understand how to mobilize, and it all comes back
to
they start taking
correct.
Money out of their pockets.
You are 100% correct.
You know, and I also, that's the kind of thing, we've got to figure out how to restructure, take the power away from the county chapters of each party to get our activism back to a healthy place of starting over. And I'll do whatever I can. I am for hire, 479-212-4053.
And you can find Marlene on Facebook as well.
Marlene Dow
on Facebook.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mario's for hire, because I'm going
to
hire
Marlene. I think Marlene's got that. I'm going to be her assistant.
And then we're going to bring Tim in, too, because we need a voice for the millennials. So, you know.
Yeah.
So my point is this has got – we've got to stop this from being about Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. This needs to be about the American people and us taking our power back as the American people.
Strategically.
I agree.
Strategically.
I agree. Yeah. So I want to thank everybody.
And Marlene would be the first one to do it.
I know that's right. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in to this particular show here on Thursday. Please do not forget to please download our TuneIn app on WMRDB, the Woman's Station TuneIn app. You can listen to us 24 hours a day. Marlene is on there as well as Mario. Grown folks conversation about real things. Make you depressed, but it's what's happening.
Well, you have to get
to
that place to
make changes. Yeah, man.
You have to get to that
place. You got
a
contact
way
to people. Or you want to leave your contact information on how people can get in contact with you? Because you got an event coming up, right?
Yeah, I do. February 11th at Club 6340 in Riverdale, Georgia. Pre-Valentine's Day show, I'm going to be out there just for, you know what, we're going to forget about the Republicans and the Democrats, and I want you ladies to come out there and let me tell you how beautiful and how wonderful you are and that I really appreciate you all. It's going to be great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome,
we love
Marlene.
You too.
You're welcome, Marlene. You're welcome. I want you to be in the front row. I'm going to perform especially for you. So that's going to be
Mario.
February 11th.
You know
okay.
I'm there.
That's going to be from February. That's going to be February 11th from 6 o'clock to 8 p.m. Only 2 hours, but it'll be the best 2 hours of your life. Karima, what's the number they can contact us at for tickets and more information, blah, 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 blah?
Just go to AtlantaMixRadio.com, and everything will be posted
okay, yeah,
up there. Or you can go to Mario's Facebook page, Mario Coleman's Facebook page. You can check out the flyers there and follow him on Facebook. T-shirts are available right now for the show, as well on
we're
Mario
get some
Coleman's
hats soon
personal
and
Facebook
some
page.
Socks and everything. next level.
Are we gonna get out of here? This is my last show for the week, so we will be talking with y'all next week. Thank you all for tuning in.
Thank
you.
Good night.
Good night.
The woman station, the new look and feel.